All right, guys, so we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about the death of Christ. So last week, we looked at the reality of why it is considered a work. We also talked about the importance of it, and I gave you some wrong views. What we're going to talk about today is what is the true meaning of his death. There is a meaning. So it's not just that he died on the cross. There is something that took place, okay? And then we're going to talk about the extent of his death, okay? Who does it benefit, okay? So let's talk, first of all, about the true meaning. So what I want you to think about, first of all, is Isaiah 53:10. And here is what Isaiah writes. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. And when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper. Okay, now why did I give you this scripture? This scripture is telling you that somebody put him to death. And who was that somebody? Well, the Romans did, okay, yes, but who ultimately made him the sacrifice? God did, okay? Yeah, God did. Now, God uses instruments, and that's what you were referring to there, Mike, as far as he used human instruments to carry out his will, and that is the Romans, okay? It's also involved the Jews, because it was the Jewish leaders who sought him. Okay, so we're all responsible, okay? We're all responsible. Now, why is it important? Well, first of all, it's vicarious. Now, you're like, what? What are you saying? Okay, vicarious is a nice theological word. It's a word that has a meaning here. So vicarious means acting or done for another. So his death is vicarious. So it was on behalf of or done for another person or persons, okay? Now, when we say that Jesus' death is vicarious, what are we saying then? Okay, it points to the reality that Jesus Christ died for the sins of others, okay? For the sins of others. So, by the way, did he die for his own sins? Why? Why couldn't he die for his own sins? Yeah, he's perfect. All right. So the reality is that he's dying for others. It's vicarious, okay? He is making the sacrifice for others. Now, here's what Romans 5:8 says. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, okay? It's for us. That's why he died. Here's the other one. Jesus Christ did not die for his own sins. We've already mentioned that. That comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He committed no sins, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Peter is saying he didn't commit any sins. And there was no lies coming out of his mouth. Now remember, how many years did Peter hang out with Jesus, basically live with Jesus? 3 years, right? 3 years traveling around, seeing every, when you're hanging out with somebody every day, do you think the chances of you witnessing their weaknesses and their mistakes are great? Yeah. Yeah, you know that. So like if I went with one of you guys, okay, Bruce went hunting. So we take a big hunting trip and I go away with him. And let's say we're there all week, okay, hunting some animal, do you think Bruce would see what I'm really like? Probably on the way out. Okay. Okay. Why, are you saying I would react poorly because I'm not a good hunter? Okay, 36. Oh, I thought you were going to say because maybe I'm not a good hunter and I didn't get anything. I do have to load my gun. All right, you know, all right, Daddy, okay. Don't, okay. Of all the people to have that happen in front of. Yeah, he remembers everything. Okay, so Peter's saying, look, I know he did not commit any sin. He was perfect. No lies coming out of his mouth. So it was vicarious for you and I. So think about that. He came to go to the cross to die for you, for your sins. Okay? That's what's so amazing about it. Okay? And he purposely went. He knew that's why he was born. Came as a child, grew up as a man, going to the cross for you and I. Okay, here's the other one. It's satisfaction. It's not just vicarious, it's satisfaction. And it satisfies in several areas. So because his death was vicarious, it provides satisfaction so that our sins were removed. Okay, so in order for our sins to be removed, this is the point I want you to see, several things had to be satisfied. And Jesus' death satisfied them, okay? So we're going to take them one at a time so we understand what is satisfied. So the first one is, it satisfied the justice of God. Okay? It satisfied the justice of God. When man sinned against God, he incurred God's displeasure and condemnation. All right, so I want you to understand that this is completely different than a human being getting ticked off. Okay? So, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us do things that irritate us, right? Okay? In all of our friendships, we do things that irritate us. We do things that tick us off, that make us mad, right? Okay? And so we have this thought that, yeah, you know, so like, let's say there's some guy who's sitting here, let's call him Scott. He does something to me, and I get angry with him, and I'm mad at him. I might even be mad at him for a week. But eventually we, quote, work it out, right? And so even though it's in the back of my mind, Scott did this to me, you know what I'm saying? We somehow go on, right? We somehow manage and go on, okay? Now the problem is that we think that that's how God is with us. That somehow he gets irritated with us, okay? But yet he gets over it. Time heals all wounds, right? It doesn't really, but we think that God will get over it, okay? He may remember and have a long memory, but he'll get over it. I'm trying to tell you the justice of God, he doesn't get over it. He doesn't get over it. Well, what do you mean he doesn't get over it? It's not like he's acting on it right now. He doesn't have to act on it right now. When will he act on his justice? Yeah, when the books are opened and at the great white throne. Yes, I think I heard you say that, Denny. Yeah, it's the judgment. At the judgment, it's basically, there isn't even going to be a chance for, I think at that point, is everybody wakes up to the reality of who they are. Because right now we can deceive ourselves, okay? But when you're standing before the great judge, and all of a sudden you have understanding of who he is, do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, for instance, we've read this in the last couple weeks here about some religious leaders being killed in a war, and they were very much they're very much out to kill Jews, okay? And the reality is okay, those guys are going to have to stand before the Lord, and everything they believed and everything they thought, well, all of a sudden the realization was is they were wrong. And there won't be any excuses. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because God's justice will be done. Did you understand? God's justice will be done. It's not like human beings where we, quote, get over it. Maybe we still hold a grudge, but we want to live with each other. God's not like that, okay? So his death satisfied God's justice. So here's what I want you to see. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? So the justice is there. Wages of sin is death, right? So can I help you to understand? Let's make sure we all understand here. Which sins deserve death? All right, Bruce says all of them. All sins. But we don't act that way, though. We classify sins, right? Yeah, little white sins, you know what I'm saying? We used to, in fact, engage in that before cell phones, right? Remember when you had the one phone in the house and everybody had to answer the phone, but you heard somebody, if it's so-and-so, tell them I'm not here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you would say, that's a lie. Well, it's a lie of convenience. It's a white lie. Yeah, but it's sin, right? It's sin. And then we try to justify, well, you know, but in God's eyes, remember, it's his justice, okay? Any sin is a sin. Any sin. All of it is worthy of what? Death. Now, we're not just talking physical death here. We're talking spiritual death, which is ultimately what? From the book of Revelation, they get cast into what? The lake of fire, okay? The lake of fire. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus' death satisfied God's demand for justice concerning our sin. When he died on the cross, that satisfied God's desire for justice for your sins. Do you realize that? Now, let's be honest. Let's stop for a moment. All of us have regrets, right? I'm assuming this is correct for every one of us. I hope it is. We all have regrets concerning the things we've done that we know were wrong, right? Okay? Even with those regrets, I don't think sometimes we grasp the reality that what that was, even though we regret it, ultimately gave us a death penalty. And there was no commutation available on our own. There's nothing we could do. But Jesus came and went to the cross and died so that on our behalf, it's vicarious, so that we might satisfy what? The wrath of God. Do you understand? The wrath of God. So therefore, when he looks at us, he sees us as new because he doesn't see us by our sins, because our sins were paid for by Christ and it satisfied his need for justice, okay? His need for justice. So that's the first one. Anybody got a thought there, question? I think you really are emphasizing. I want us to grasp the reality of what Jesus did for us. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. It was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over sin. So this is where his justice takes place. Okay? Here's the other one. It satisfied the law of God. Now you say, isn't that the same thing? Well, kind of, but this is a little bit more defining. When you sin, you're breaking what? God's law. Well, you say, I thought the Old Testament law was for Israel. Yeah, but there are certain laws that were given before Israel was made into a nation and given the law. Like what? Murder. We know that from Genesis, in the beginning chapters of Genesis, how wrong that is. Stealing. There's a moral law that God has written on all of our hearts. We broke the law of God. While Jesus Christ's death satisfied the justice of God, it also satisfied the law of God. Now here's what I want you to see. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, let's talk about the law for a moment and help you understand why you could never satisfy the law. What does the law do? What's the primary reason for the law? Okay, show us that we're sinners, because it provides this whole list of things, especially for the Jews and even the moral law. It tells you what you should not do, right? And we understand that. So, like, does everybody know the speed limit in town here? What's that?
Oh, too slow.
Oh, too slow. Okay, there's a 2 in it, but it's 25, okay? All right, so 25 is... But how many people, when you see a speed limit sign, you're like, oh, this is what it is? It's not a suggestion. Did you know what I'm saying? And it's not based on what you got going next and how quick you got to be there, okay? But we break the law every day, right? Yeah, every day. And the reality is so the law exposes our weaknesses. Now, when you've read through the Old Testament law, okay, and I know it's hard, but is there anywhere in the law that tells you how to deal with the things you do wrong? What you're supposed to do? Okay, that's good, Lisa. I thought somebody would say that, but there's a problem. What were the sacrifices for? Okay. They were for the sins of ignorance. They were for the sins that you committed that you didn't know you were committing. So what about the sins that you knew what you were doing? Was there a way the law presented a way to deal with those sins? No. So the law could never be satisfied, right? But Jesus, his death on the cross, not only satisfied the justice of God, it satisfied the law. In fact, it perfected the law. Do you understand?
It satisfied those sins,
yes. That's exactly right. Not just those sins. So I hope you understand. When we talk about Jesus as Christ was once for all, his death was once for all, it satisfied sins, satisfied the justice of God. What sins are we talking about here? Yeah, it's for all. Ones that we've committed, and it's also for the ones that we have not committed. How do I know that? We'll talk about it here in a moment. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin... You have an advocate who is what? The propitiation for your sins. Okay? Jesus Christ. Okay? So what I want you to see is it satisfied the law of God. So here it is. Satisfied justice, satisfied the law of God. Now, why did it satisfy? Because in this section, it involved atonement and propitiation. So the death of Christ provided that atonement and a propitiation for our sins. Now, those are two different words, okay? And here's what it does. It provides atonement. That means it is paying the price for our sin. It is something else dying to pay the price for your sin. Propitiation means it also satisfies. What does it satisfy? It satisfies the wrath of God. Okay, so it goes back to, and I just mentioned it, 1 John chapter 2, 1 to 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He satisfied for the sins of the whole world. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit further when we get to the extent. okay? So I won't spend a lot of time there with that part. But here's what I want you to see. He, basically, you don't have to worry, is Jesus' sacrifice enough? Like, do you need to do something more? No. Okay? Now, so let's stop for a moment. Let's go ahead and talk about this. What do you need to do to be accepted by God? Okay, that's good, Tim. Did you hear what he said? Nothing. It's not based on you. Do you understand that? Your acceptance with God has to do with who? Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. Now, here's the thing that I get perturbed sometimes. When I hang around Christian circles, or if I'm around some other pastors or whatever, and I hear people say things like this. A good Christian wouldn't do that. They must not be a Christian. What does that mean? That somehow God has aligned with whatever your preference is, and that's the only way he accepts you is if they do that. No. You don't understand. Jesus accepts you, period, because Jesus died for you if you're his child. Did you understand what I'm saying? That's the reality. When you make statements like that, can I be honest with you? If we make statements like that, that's communicating we don't truly understand the acceptance of God. That he accepts us in spite of us and in spite of anything. This is the reality. Do you know what I'm saying? This is the reality. But why do people say things like that? Because they want to, I don't know. I don't understand. I'm just trying to tell you that's not right. Okay? The fact of the matter is he is the atonement and the propitiation. That's where our acceptance is. Okay? That's where our acceptance is. All right, let's go on. It's another thing that's done here. All right? It involves reconciliation. The death of Jesus Christ provided a reconciliation between God and man. This is one, can I be honest with you, I am constantly wrestling with. What do you mean you wrestle with it? Well, the fact is we do sin, right? And we do enter into a thought process where we think, okay, well, God, you're pretty fed up with me now. You know, still struggling in this area. It seems like I'm talking to you about the same old thing over and over again. And we think that he's changed. Because let's be honest, human beings change, right? Okay? So let me take my friend Brad here. Let's say I do Brad wrong in a certain area. And at first he's willing to give me a break or whatever. But let's say after 10 years, every other week I do the same thing. Do you think there's going to be a change in our relationship? You would be questioning whether he would still be a friend of mine after 10 years, right? But here's the thing. With God, that's not true because we have been what? Reconciled to him. Because of ourselves? No, because of what? The death of Christ. The death of Christ. See, do you see what I'm saying? This is what's so awesome about what he's done for us, okay? This is so awesome about what he's done for us. So let's kind of go back through real quickly before I carry us onto the next point. Well, let me carry on to the next point and then we'll say. First of all, it's a ransom. The death of Christ paid the ransom to set us free from the bondage of sin. You were a slave. Do you realize that? Before you came to Christ, you were a slave. Yeah, my boss, yeah, I can see why he's a slave driver. No, I'm not talking that, okay? I'm saying you were a slave because you belong to who? Satan, yeah. Yeah, you hear people all the time about the possession thing. That is real, okay? But I'll be honest with you, he doesn't need to possess people who are unsaved. They already belong to him. They're slaves to sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's the God of this world to them. When Jesus died, satisfied God's wrath, reconciled us, he also paid the ransom and bought us. We are purchased with his blood. Do you understand? He bought us from the slave markets of sin. We're not slaves. Well, I thought we're slaves to Jesus. Well, the word is bondservant. A bondservant is somebody who's been released from slavery but goes back into slavery for the one that he loves. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we love Jesus, so therefore we are his bondservants. Okay? But he paid the ransom for us. How do we know that? Jesus Christ paid the ransom to set us from the bondage of sin. Here's what Matthew 20, verse 28 says. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay? For many. Now, let's just kind of go back through. What are we saying here about the death? Why is it important? Why does it matter? Well, first of all, it satisfies the justice of God, right? Satisfies the law. Then we realize it's for our atonement and propitiation to satisfy God's wrath. It involves reconciliation. And it pays the ransom, right? That was needed to be paid because of our sin. All right? So now we're going to focus in on these last two areas, the extent of his death. Now, who's this for? Okay? Now, first of all, he died for the elect. Now that one, some of you probably got hair standing up on your back. What do you mean the elect? Well, let me explain to you, because that's a biblical word. Let me explain to you what it is. By the way, you are the elect. Okay, here's what I want you to see. Jesus Christ died primarily for all believers or the elect. He died for you. This is the reality. Here's what I want you to see. This is from a passage about husbands and how they are with their wives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as, here's what it says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He died for those who would believe. The elect, okay? All right, everybody understand that. He died for you. But George, didn't we just read in 1 John chapter 2 that he died for the sins of the whole world? Well, here's what I want you to see. The death of Christ provides the means, it should be an S there, the means of salvation to all men, although most will not choose it. Okay? So is Jesus' death enough for everybody in the world to get saved? Okay, but we know it's for all, the possibility for all to get saved. That's what it means. But do all get saved? Most do not. So here's what I want you to see. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared to bring salvation for all people. He went to the cross to provide salvation for everyone. Now, he did it for the elect, for those who believe. And that's what we rest our faith in, right? But he did it for everyone else, but it's up to them whether they choose it or not, right? It's completely up to them. Do you understand? So when we say that he died for the sins of the world, it means he provides salvation to all of the world, but they have to choose. Do you understand? They have to choose. They have to be the ones to ask questions, okay, and receive him. Now, next week, we're going to get into his resurrection. Okay, so this is our last lesson on his death. Next week, we're going to talk about the resurrection.